Welcome to She Is Never Lost, But At Least She Has Wine, a podcast made just for you. Your host is Felicia Stitzel, world traveler and influencer, professional photographer, sommelier, Navy veteran, and mom. Tune in every Thursday for solo episodes where she shares her life story and a wine highlight. Pour yourself a glass and let's dive in. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of She Is Never Lost, But At Least She Has Wine. I hope your guys' beginning of 2022 is going as good as mine. It started a little rough for me, but we have definitely gone up since then, which I'm really excited about, because nobody wants to start off the year with bad and then keep going down. So I'm really excited about that, and I hope that yours is as well. Today, I'm really excited to be sharing a wine from the good old US of A. I know I do a lot of international wines, mostly from Europe, because it is very easy for me to be able to, of course, access all of these beautiful wines from Europe. And it gets a little bit harder for some of the wines from the US. But I had a friend come back from Washington recently, and she brought me back some wine. So I'm very excited about this one. This wine is from Bethany Vineyard and Winery in Washington State, and I am very, very excited to be tasting it. So this wine is a 2018 Reserve Chardonnay, and I am really excited to be tasting it. So here we go. Oh, wow. Normally I don't get a lot of like tropical notes from Chardonnays, but this is one of those grapes that I swear, throughout my career in wine, it is a wine that constantly surprises me. I am always surprised because, you know, I think that I have it pegged. I think that I know what it is that I'm talking about when it comes to, oh, well, if you have a Chardonnay, it's going to be tasting just like this, period, comma, exclamation point. And that's one of those things that, you know, I need to learn when to stop inserting foot into mouth, because Chardonnay, it seems like it is always going to surprise me, because here we go. Here's another wine that shocks me. This, like I said, it has a lot of tropical nose on it. So it has some pineapple, a little bit of the lychee or leche, depending on how you want to pronounce that. It also has a little bit of like apricot in it as well. So I'm really surprised about this wine just from the nose. So a lot of fruit flavors on there, but mostly tropical based. And then I'm getting like just the slightest hint of like baking spices. So let's go for a taste. Okay, so still getting a lot of notes of pineapple in this, and then the vanilla. So I'm going to assume that this wine was aged in oak instead of in a stainless steel tank, or if it did have time in a stainless steel tank, it's only for a short period of time, because they really did pull out a lot of really amazing flavors for the vanilla, which comes mostly from fermenting the wine or aging the wine in oak. So that's really pleasantly surprised on this wine. Now I'm really sad I only have one, but I love sharing these wines with you guys, and I love sharing the tasting and the experience. But if you are in Washington, I highly recommend going and checking out some of these local Washington wineries. The time that I spent in Washington and living in Idaho, I was always surprised on the quality of wines that are coming out of Washington and in Idaho, but you know, we're talking about Washington today. So it's one of those places that you really can tell that they're putting their heart, soul, passion, dreams, dedication, time into every single bottle that they produce. And you can taste the difference. And that's the big thing that you don't get. And one thing that I constantly go back to talking about wines is you don't want to only do like mass produced wines. And I say that because not only is there a lot of additives into the wine itself, just because they want to be able to recreate that same taste, that same flavor year after year after year, that it does really take away from the essence of the wine itself, because you're not being able to taste the differences. And all of the vintages for many of these wineries in many of these regions, it changes year to year because, let's say, Washington, known for its rain and cloud coverage, what if it was a really hot year? And what if suddenly you had expected it to be, you know, warm and hot, and then all your reds are going to be crazy and tannic. The next year was overcast and rainy and didn't have a lot of sunshine. And then you don't get a lot of that heat and the tannins and the wines. So part of the reason why I love the wine industry so much is because it does have that uniqueness to it, that no year is the same. No two vintages are exactly the same, and that you can taste the winemaker's signature in every single bottle. So that's my little high horse moment on mass-produced wines and whether you should get them or not. Obviously, it's always going to be a personal choice and, of course, a pricing choice too. Nobody really wants to spend lots and lots of money on a daily drinker, so I get it. It's part of the reason why I feel like I've gotten so spoiled living in Spain is that they have such quality wines, but it's really, really inexpensive to be able to drink quality wines. Another reason why I don't want to move back to the U.S., but that's just me. All right, so the story that we're going to get into today is giving you a little therapy, and this is altitude therapy. For anybody out there who wants to have a little inside tips and tricks on taking your very first hot air balloon ride. So I'm really excited about this one because I loved my experience in a hot air balloon. It was one of the most amazing, terrifying, unique experiences that I have ever been able to do in my life. And especially because I kind of have a thing about heights. I'm kind of scared about them. But I was able to do it with my husband, who, I mean, he wasn't up in the basket with us because there was only room for my daughter and myself. But this is something that he has grown up being able to be experiencing and be a part of. The first time I almost had an opportunity was when I went to the International Balloon Fiesta, which is held in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And my husband, he has family that lives there. So it's easy for him over the years growing up to be able to go down and be a part of the festival and go up in the rides and to really experience this whole culture around hot air ballooning. The first time I was almost able to go was when I was actually pregnant with my daughter, and had the winds not been so rough, I actually probably wouldn't have been able to go up in the balloon with my husband. But I wasn't, and it's because I was very pregnant at the time. I was almost 7.5 months pregnant, so I was very far out there. And they were just really afraid that it was going to be just too rough of a landing, that it was going to, you know, be dangerous for, you know, my daughter and myself. So it wasn't up until April of last year that I was able to get into a hot air balloon for the very first time. It was once again in New Mexico, so that was really cool to be able to experience my first hot air balloon ride with my daughter, with friends of family members who have been a part of my husband's ballooning experience for, you know, years. Absolutely incredible. Even coming from somebody who is terrified of heights, like, to jump into a big, beautiful lake, like off of a waterfall, I have to like pep talk my way to do it. Rope swings, same thing. I have to swing a couple times and I'm like, okay, you have to let go now. You have to let go now. And well, this was the same kind of thing where I wanted to do it so bad that my desire to be up in the hot air balloon overcame my fear of heights. There are a few things about hot air ballooning that you need to know. So I'm going to give you a little history of hot air ballooning, just really brief, because if you go up for the first time, most pilots will actually share this history with you because it is something that's very near and dear to them. But on September 19th, in 1783, Pelletier de Rosaire, a scientist, launched the very first hot air balloon called the Aerostat Révillon. And the passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. And the balloon stayed in the air for a grand total of 15 minutes before it crashed down to the ground. The first manned attempt came about 2 months later on November 21st in a balloon made by two French brothers. And the balloon was launched from the center of Paris and it flew for about 20 minutes before it finally came down. There's actually a funny story about champagne and hot air balloonists, and you definitely need to go check that out to figure out why. Actually, I'm going to connect my blog post that I wrote about this particular event to the show notes. And that also has the link over to my IGTV on my Instagram to actually breaks down the whole story. So you really need to go check it out. So why do they call it altitude therapy? And it's because when you get up there, not only do you get that like altitude, thin air, just all your extra oxygen in your blood and your brain is giving you that endorphins and all of that other stuff, but it really is something that is truly spectacular. If you are going to book, it doesn't matter where in the world you're booking, whether you're trying to do like those famous hot air ballooning areas in Turkey, if you're trying to do it in Arizona, New Mexico, California, like literally anywhere in the world, you need to book ahead of time. Even amidst the whole height of COVID, there was still the ability to go up in hot air balloons. That being said, you definitely need to go and make sure that if you are going to be booking, you need to book ahead of time. And I would always recommend if you're going on a trip specifically to go hot air ballooning, or that's on your agenda of somewhere to go. Let's say, for example, you go to Arizona and you want to go do a hot air balloon ride. Book it for the first couple days. And that way, in case there is bad weather that you have to reschedule, you're not going to miss out on that opportunity because they will reschedule for hopefully later in your trip. So try to schedule it in the very beginning of your trip. And that way, in case something happens, you have that buffer time. And, you know, with hot air ballooning, everything is a variable. The wind, the rain, direction of wind, and how hard is it, the clarity of the sky, like everything comes into effect. I actually just heard a really good example from a video my husband was watching about, don't take this the wrong way, but about snipers. It's like, you know, you on Hollywood videos, like you just see like these two dudes laying on their stomachs, you know, calculating and shooting. But they have to take into account every single aspect of everything going on around them. The rotation of the earth, the humidity, the wind direction, like everything, whether or not they pull the trigger on their heartbeat or between heartbeats. Like, it's so specific. And hot air ballooning, as far as a mode of transportation or enjoyment or luxury, is very similar to that. So communicate, make sure that you know what's going on, weather conditions, and then book in the beginning. Budget. Another tip is budget before a flight. Hot air ballooning can be really expensive or it can be, you know, moderately expensive. The average cost, specifically more so in America, but I know that it can be similar prices to this in Turkey. They can be anywhere from $65 to $300 per person. So it all depends on like what time of year you're trying to fly, days you're trying to fly, whether it's like a romantic with champagne or you're willing to go up in a group of a basket of like 10 people. All of those factors come into play. So when you're imagining your perfect trip for hot air ballooning, you have to take into account what your perfect day and your perfect image looks like. You know, your quote unquote Instagrammable moment. Is it by yourself and with your loved one? Is it in a group just because you want to do it and knock it off your bucket list? Is it with a bottle of champagne or by yourself? Like, take into all of these little factors and then figure out what that's going to cost and budget. Like I said, that leads perfectly into my next tip, which prepare to get cozy because you're in a basket, possibly filled with complete strangers. In my basket, there was just the pilot, myself, and my daughter. But this wasn't a tour company that was doing this because the big tour companies can have baskets that I think can hold like 10 or 15 people in it. And even in my tiny basket, there was barely enough room for me to be able to maneuver side to side and rotate before I was going to be bumping elbows with the pilot. And my daughter was in my lap most of the time, but I got a little bit more wiggle room because she was on my lap. And needless to say, it definitely caused for a little comfort. You had to be really comfortable or just choose to be comfortable because this is the kind of experience that you wanted to have. So be prepared to get real cozy real quick. And once again, if that goes back to if you don't want to be bumping elbows with a total stranger other than the pilot, you might want to consider doing a private tour. But this is, you know, it was a great experience because once again, you have the 360-degree view where, yeah, you may or may not have all of that room if you're going to have a big group of people, but you're still going to have a decent degree angle view of everything that you're going to be seeing when you're up in the hot air balloon. Big, big tip here. Dress warm in layers. And I say layers because when you first get out to that parking lot and you're, or the field or wherever it is that you're going to be setting up and getting, meeting the crew for the hot air balloon experience, you're probably going to be there butt crack early. Most flights, you have to be there generally before the sun rises because the crew has to get everything set up and they have to get the envelope all laid out, and then they have to fill the envelope full of air, cold air first, and then warm air, and then, and then, and then. It's a process and it takes time. If you are getting that first, like, early morning rise, or even the late days, like when you're watching the sunset, it gets cold real quick because you're going to be there when they're closing everything up too. So it takes a while and you're going to want to make sure you stay warm. But of course, you're going to be sitting right next to a giant pillar of flame when you're up in the basket. So it can get real hot real quick up there too, especially if you get one of the more cozy baskets. Most people, they really enjoy the fact that there's this nice, hot, warm pillar sitting right next to them. But if you're really tall, like my husband, it feels like your head is on fire. And it could have been if he moved, you know, 1 inch to the right or to the left. So you're really going to want to make sure you dress warmly, but in layers. Next tip, steady yourself for the landing. Most people think that, you know, hot air ballooning is this beautiful, graceful, wonderful thing. Now that it is, except I'm going to take out the graceful part because those landings can be rough depending on, you know, the skill of your pilot, the wind, the weather, the landing location, whether you're landing like in another parking lot or if you're landing in desert in the middle of nowhere, if, or, you know, you're landing, something happens, you're landing in somebody's street. You never know exactly where you're going to be landing. The pilots do, but you don't. So you just make sure that you brace yourself for it. My pilot, her name was Lori, and she did it perfectly. She kissed the ground ever so gently. And I got to tell you, the very first time being in a hot air balloon and landing that gently, it kind of spoils you for any other experience. And then the last one is, gosh, enjoy the ride. This is one of the coolest experiences that I was able to have. And once again, coming from somebody who is terrified of these kinds of heights. And I got kind of wrapped up with the, oh God, oh God, oh God, like we're so high up. And there is literally a teeny tiny wicker basket between me and falling to my death. Oh, and I brought my child into this too. Cool. This is awesome. Great life choices. But once you get off of that line of focus and you actually, like, you look up and you look around. And for me, I tried not to move as much as humanly possible because that reminded me that I was in this tiny little wicker basket. Enjoy it. Floating up and into the atmosphere, like you, for me as a photographer, like I loved it because you were able to get a perspective that unless you're a drone or an avid hot air balloonist, you don't get that kind of view very often because the flight view that you get from sitting in an airplane is going to be very different from what you're going to experience in a hot air balloon. And so you don't even have to be a photographer or, you know, Instagrammer to appreciate that kind of beauty. And it was just one of the most magical experiences that I was able to have, even with my daughter being kind of a turd when we were up there, because she was very upset that daddy didn't get to be in the hot air balloon with us. And, you know, that causes issues when you're four, and, you know, it is what it is. But ultimately, enjoy the ride, because it really is this amazing, breathtaking, wonderful experience that can be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Or it's kind of like a tattoo that if once you get one, like, you're just going to be hooked. So best of luck to you. I do want to be able to go up in another hot air balloon experience. And I do kind of want to do the one in Turkey just because it looks amazing. But ultimately, if this is on your bucket list of experiences that you want to have throughout your life, start doing your research, seeing where around you does it, or if you want to travel to a place and see if they have it. I highly recommend it because these are the kinds of, you know, unforgettable, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity experiences that cannot be digitally recreated. You really have to be there and experience it for yourself. So I hope that you guys like this little shorter insider tips and tricks on if you ever have decided to want to go hot air ballooning. I highly recommend it, and I think that you guys would have a lot of fun with it. And if you're scared of heights like me, don't let that hold you back. Continue to go with it. Challenge yourself, because when you have experiences like this, It really does change your whole perspective on the world, mentally and physically. Cheers.